It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.
And I'm Renee Montaigne. In Afghanistan, one of the ways the government is hoping to make people feel safe enough to vote tomorrow is by stopping journalists from reporting the violence. It's also increased security dramatically over the past few days in the capital, Kabul, which has been shaken by a series of deadly bombings and other attacks by the Taliban. NPR's Jackie Northam joins us now from our bureau in Kabul. Good morning.
Good morning, Renee.
Now, there have been more attacks in Kabul. Why don't you tell us exactly how that has gone?
Well, there were three attacks yesterday, two rocket attacks and then a suicide bombing just on the outskirts of Kabul, in which several people were killed and scores went injured. Today, there was a shootout at a bank in the city center, and it went on for several hours. The police say at least three heavily armed gunmen overran the bank and that they were just criminals. Taliban spokesman, however, said it was some of its militants, and he also said that a number of suicide bombers have been sent into the city ahead of the elections. You know, either way, whether it was criminals or militants, today's incident didn't do much to lift the mood in this city. You know, after yesterday's attacks, the city streets were dead. Like, everybody just went inside and locked their doors. And this is what election officials and the international community fear the most, that these suicide bombings and rocket attacks will dissuade voters from coming out. So we'll just have to wait and see if there are more attacks and how the people will react.
Well, how serious is this security? Are you talking about army on the streets or lots more police?
You're talking about both. There are more checkpoints on the street, but honestly, you're not left with the feeling that they're stringently checking vehicles or people going by. Quite often, soldiers and police will just wave people or, you know, cars through. The Afghan government's answer seems to be to just prevent the media from reporting the violence. And so in that way, voters don't get scared off on the day. There were two decrees issued today, one by the foreign ministry and the other by the interior ministry, barring any coverage of violence on election day. The English version of that of the decrees requested that there be no coverage. The local version, the Dari language version, said journalists were strictly forbidden from covering any trouble. And already two journalists have been arrested. The government said it's taking these steps in order to control the media from having a negative impact and to somehow lift the voters' morale and encourage them to vote.
Well, Afghanistan has developed quite a lively press, a local press, and especially there in Kabul. What's been the response generally and also by the U.S. to arresting journalists for reporting basically the news?
Well, as you said, I mean, it's a very lively press here. And so these sort of decrees that come down, it's very confusing. And it's also slightly worrying for the local press that they might be intimidated from going out and covering any of the violence, you know, because they are going to get arrested. I spoke with a very high-level American official today about this, and he said the embassy, the U.S. embassy, is very, very angry about this. First, it's against the Constitution here. It goes against press freedoms. But the official also said, why is the government here wasting its security efforts going after journalists rather than trying to track down the Taliban or trying to prevent any attacks?
And then, of course, the big question is also the countryside where there, especially in the south and the east, where there's a lot of Taliban presence. We're within a day of the election. How good is the security at this point in time for those areas to stand a chance of letting people vote?
Well, I just came back from a press conference with the Election Commission, and they said that there are eight districts where polling stations are not going to open because they're under Taliban control. But the Interior Ministry also said that about one-third of the country is still at risk from attacks. They haven't been able to get election materials to some places in the country, in part because they're so remote, they're having to move them in by donkey and that type of thing. But in other parts, because of the violence, they have not been able to get through for fear of attacks or because of attacks. And so they're having to helicopter these materials in, ballots and that type of thing. And they're going to try and get that all done today, but it's not a done deal by any means.
NPR's Jackie Northam speaking to us from Kabul. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Renee.
Renee, I want to ask about a different kind of violence, post-election violence, because there have been statements by politicians in recent days, if we lose this election, there's going to be protests like in Iran recently, but with AK-47s. But you've actually been talking to people in Afghanistan. Do you get a sense that people are willing to accept the results of tomorrow's election?
I do get that sense, as a matter of fact. I'm not saying there won't be sporadic violence, but, you know, generally that statement came up. It's important to know that was a supporter of Abdullah Abdullah, who is the second, you know, the challenger challenger to President Hamid Karzai. That's a sort of thought that might be offered by someone who thinks they might lose and could be upset about it. He himself, Abdul Abdullah, actually tamped that down and said no way he was going to bring people out into the streets.
Well, has this election been divisive, given that there are candidates who are sometimes seen as representing different ethnic groups in Afghanistan?
Yeah, I would say the reverse. I would say that there was a lot of division before this election, but during these last few weeks, people have concentrated on their guy. And while, of course, any election, if you lose it, and people are going to lose in this election, you can have angry supporters. What's really been happening is people getting excited about voting for somebody. And this is a first in Afghanistan. Technically, this is their second election. But in 2004, and I was there, the vote was what you might call a rehearsal. Everybody knew that Hamid Karzai was sort of handpicked by the Americans. They weren't all terribly upset about that. They knew he was going to win, even though there were dozens of other candidates. In this election, there are dozens of candidates. About four challengers have pushed through to really make a difference in terms of people talking about them. And I took to talking to every single person, cab drivers, every single person that I was ever with, Afghan, to find out, you know, are you going to vote? And who are you going to vote for? Sometimes they'd say, oh, that's my business. But mm-hmm. mostly, yes, they were going to vote. And they all had candidates, and they were all different.
So you have, I mean, you can have an election that pulls a country apart or pushes it together. You're saying it seems to be pushing people together. What about the actual candidates that people are excited about? Did you sense, after seeing so many campaign rallies, that Afghanistan is actually presented with a series of serious politicians having a serious discussion about the country?
Well, it's serious politicians. Now, the discussion was something we might all recognize. People were staying away from the tough issues. They were smoothing over what they had to say. There was only one candidate, and that was Ashraf Ghani, a former finance minister who had a plan. And he was a little like, here's my plan. You could practically see the paper flipping, but it was actually very welcome to those who were behind him. And when you talk to people, you get the sense it's a lot of well-educated, urban, young, maybe men. That's who I was talking to. But in terms of the seriousness, yeah, they're serious about the issues. People are serious about putting themselves out there. Ultimately, Karzai actually went up in the polls because instead of sitting in the presidential palace and making deals with power brokers like elders and in some cases, and this is quite controversial, warlords of the old school that many would like to see go away in mm-hmm. Afghanistan, get out of politics. Instead of sitting in the palace doing that, he at least made a show in these last couple of weeks of going out, and as best he could under lots of protection, yeah. of going out and holding rallies and talking to the people. Now, a lot of it's staged, by the way. But
still, he's out there.
He's out there.
Making
he's
communications,
out there.
And they have staged events here in the United States, I suppose. When I think about Afghanistan, I mean, it's tempting to think about the country's isolation. A few years ago, you could have easily found a person who'd never made a phone call, never seen a television broadcast, or
didn't know where a woman said to me, where does the ballot go?
Didn't know how to vote.
When it drops into that box, where does it go? You know, down through the earth. I mean,
how connected is this society now that several years have passed?
Oh, massively more connected. It was even surprising to me this time from just 2.5 years ago. In 2004, there were a handful of cell phones. They all seemed to be in the hands of either government officials or the Taliban, who were very early adopters of this technology because it helped them. But by now, there are millions of cell phones out there. Everyone has a cell phone. You can practically not do an interview without somebody having to pick up or stop their cell phone. TV, very, very lively television, local television, lots of channels, lots of radio. These people are really connected, especially in urban areas.
Morning Edition's Renee Montaigne is back from a month reporting in Afghanistan, and she's in our studios here in Washington as we prepare for Afghanistan's election. The voting is expected tomorrow. You're listening to Morning Edition from NPR News.